morning.
Good morning.
It's wonderful to be with you this morning on a sunny Sunday. We haven't had many of those in the last 2 months, so we rejoice in the return of the sun this morning on Sunday morning. Several things want you to know about. Check out the announcements. But the middle and high school youth have been on hiatus for too long, not because they decided to be, but because I haven't been real good about scheduling. So middle and high school youth, we're going to meet right after church next week until 1:30. So if you've got kids or grandkids that are in that middle high school age group, help me spread the word with that. And then want to put in another plug that it's not too late to sign up to go to camp at Luther Ridge or Luther Rock or Camp Agape. There was a March 15th deadline that we've been pointing you towards, but that was only one of their early registration deadlines, and the issue is just that the price bumps up a little bit, and it has a little bit, but you get another period of about a month until the April 15th, where it's still lower than it would be if you register after April 15th. So if you've got kids or grandkids who are thinking about that, please do think hard about it and encourage you to sign up. And if they're members of this congregation, we can help pay for some of that. So I hope you'll send your kids to camp. It's almost time for us to start talking about a Holy Week schedule. This Wednesday is our last Wednesday night Lenten service. So we'll eat at 5:45, and we do have someone who is going to provide that meal on Wednesday night. So we had talked about the possibility of potluck, but it's not going to be potluck. There will be a meal at 5:45 on Wednesday, and then our half an hour holding evening prayer service starts at 6. So do join us this Wednesday for that. But the following Wednesday, we will not be together on Wednesday night because we will be together on Thursday night for Maundy Thursday and for Good Friday. So we're not going to meet the Wednesday too. I know it's a lot to have services on Thursday and Friday, and then again on Sunday, or to have a couple of them even on Sunday. Believe me, I know about that. But I will tell you that this is sort of the heart of our faith, centered around these Holy Week services, the death of Jesus and his resurrection. That's sort of why any of us are here. So it's a big deal in our world. If you can make it here, it's certainly a big part of our life of faith. We hope you can. That Thursday service will be a shorter service, trying to keep it around half an hour. We know kids and things, late services are hard, but 7 o'clock on Thursday. And then the Good Friday service is also at 7. I think these are some of the most meaningful services of the year, too, for me personally. So please plan to join us for those. There's a schedule here in your bulletin, too. Are there other announcements we ought to be aware of and note this morning?
Just a reminder that tomorrow night we're going to have a sprinkle for baby girl Smith that will be coming at the end of May. So anyone is invited, everyone's invited to come by. We'll have refreshments and Carrie and Pastor Matt, and I'm sure Marcus will be there.
I think Marcus is going to be with his
friend. Oh, okay. But anyway, so just wanted to remind everyone that that is tomorrow evening, started at 6:30 in the fellowship hall.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
Boyd is reminding me that the Sunday school class that meets back here in this back classroom back here would love to invite you to join them. They start gathering. Well, some of them are here by 9, but really 9:15 is more the time, and they have coffee every morning, every Sunday morning, and usually some donuts and things, and they have good conversation, good Bible study together, and they just wanted to invite you to join them in that. If you're looking for a way to connect with the Bible, this is a great group of folks to join. They've been doing it together for a long time, but there's newcomers in that class too, so you wouldn't be out of place. So if you're looking for information, talk to to Mr. Queen up here, and he'll get you some more information on it. Yes, Myra. Wednesday at 10:30 at Mount Tabor, Holly Grove Senior Citizens will meet, and Myra's extending the invitation that any of our Holly Grove Lutheran Church members would be most welcome at this Holly Grove Senior Citizens, which is a joint meeting of several churches that come together.
What age do you have to be?
Myra, what age do you have to be was the question.
55.
Although they let me in, and I've not quite made it there. So 55, though, is about the age, probably, for most folks. And our pastors have the program, that's right, yep. Minnie's trying to help me make sure I didn't forget. That's what she's doing. I know what she's doing, yeah. You can help me all you want, that's great, yeah. Other announcements this morning. Well, we wish happy birthday to Barbara, Lydia, Mandy, Taylor, Walt, Rebecca, Scott, Barbara, Tracy, Whitney, and Aiden, and happy anniversary to Chris and Emily, to Ben and Angela, to Rusty and Sheila, and to Brent and Keeley. It is a big week for birthdays and anniversaries. Are there any we ought to add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
One reminder I did want to make sure I got in that I neglected so far. Next week we will meet out here and do a Palm Sunday procession in. So if you're able to, we'll gather just before 10:30 out here to do our procession in with palms. If you're not able to, that's okay. You still grab a palm and you can sit in your seat and you should be able to hear us through the microphone. So next week, out in the front is where we'll gather. We stand as we begin our worship on page 94. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us.
We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
for the peace from above and for our salvation. Let us pray to the Lord. Have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will head up this way for the children's message.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all? All right. This morning, we're going to hear a lesson that is going to talk about a grain being dropped to the earth. Okay? Now, when we think about grain, we think about seeds. How many of you have planted a garden before? Okay, what did those seeds look like that you planted in the ground? What?
Small.
They were small? What else? Were they wet? Were they dry?
They're dry.
They were dry. Okay.
They were ovaled.
Ovaled, okay. Or old, either way is right, okay. So in the lesson, today it's going to talk about that dried old seed bearing much fruit. That unless it dies, it cannot bear much fruit. Jesus was that seed. When he died for our sins, that was the bearing fruit. Okay? So I've got a video for you guys. I was going to show it larger, but I didn't get it transferred quick enough. Okay? So let's take a look at this.
Joe, you want to sit on this maybe?
No.
You all right?
You guys ready?
Son of man to be glorified.
boring in some ways?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this week, if we share the Word of God to other people, that's like being that grain that multiplies 100-fold. Okay? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, please let us be that grain of wheat.
Please let us be that grain of wheat
that bears fruit 100-fold.
That bears fruit 100-fold.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, thanks, guys. You guys have a blessed week.
The first reading for the fifth Sunday in Lent is from the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm. Let's read the psalm together responsively. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you alone, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and blameless when you pass judgment.
Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me in a willing spirit.
The second reading is from Hebrews, the fifth chapter. So also, Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications, with loud cries and tears, to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Here is the reading.
Return to the Lord your God.
Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now, my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, I glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be seated. Celebrity culture is so weird. Can we just put that out there this morning? But as weird as it is, we can't help but at least glance at the tabloids in the checkout aisle of the grocery store, right? As they beckon to us to read their tell-alls about new romance blooming, and maybe more interestingly, right, the splits in the romances we thought we knew. And it really is all sort of bizarre, because we've never met these people. Why are we so interested in them? You're going to be able to tell from my references here that I'm a little out of the loop, but what makes us need to know about Bennifer or Brangelina? Does anybody remember those? I'm like 10 years late, I know, but I'm trying here, so work with me. But I guess part of it might be that as long as there's been television, at least, these people have become a fixture in our worlds and in our routines, because through the magic of the screen, they come into our homes. They're a part of our daily rhythms sometimes. They bring with them into our homes, of course, all sorts of unrealistic expectations about beauty and body shapes and wealth. But it's really weird, because as much as we have opportunity to see them in our living rooms and in our bedrooms and in our kitchens, they don't ever see us, right? As much as we might feel like we know these celebrities, or at least their personas, their characters, they don't know us at all. And since now we've moved beyond TV as the primary method of celebrity following, now that you can keep up with your social media account of choice and see what your favorite stars are having for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I doubt that our obsession has gotten any healthier at this point. But there's an interesting phenomenon with celebrities that we sort of idolize, because it turns out that in real life, pretty often, these people aren't who we thought they were, and they're not sometimes who we want them to be. If you look at this online, there's a whole genre of stories on the internet about people meeting the celebrities that they had always loved, only to find out what? that these people are not who they thought they were. That these celebrities that they've watched for decades sometimes and idolized, well, they're real people who can let you down. Real people who are sometimes tired and cranky. Real people who often were not who we thought that they were. I think maybe something like this is going on with Jesus and these Greeks in our gospel lesson today. I'm just not sure that Jesus is who the Greeks thought that he was. They must have heard something about him, probably something about the fantastic signs that he was performing, because I have to assume that when Jesus goes around feeding the thousands and walking on water and healing the blind, raising the dead, word must get out about that sort of thing pretty fast. So presumably the Greeks have heard this amazing stuff that Jesus is doing, and so they come looking. But it may be that Jesus isn't who they thought he was. Because when Philip and Andrew get word to Jesus about these Greeks who want to see him, Jesus doesn't do some fantastic, magnificent sign for them. What he does is launch into this little teaching monologue, and I'm guessing that's not what they were looking for. Really, we don't even know if the Greeks were there to hear what Jesus has to say, but it's as if Jesus is saying to them, they want to see me. Or he could just as well be saying it to us. You want to see me? Listen up, because this is what it means to really see me. Really seeing me is not getting your own personal glimpse of the signs and wonders that I've done. It's not getting your belly filled with bread at one of my miracles or catching a glimpse of me as I walk across the water, Jesus seems to say. Really seeing me is not just seeing what you want to see, a miracle man or a God you created in your own image. You want to really see me in all of my glory? This is what it looks like. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Now, this is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out, Jesus says, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. You want to really see Jesus? You want to really know what Jesus is all about? This is it. Being lifted up on the cross to bring all of humanity into right relationship with God. The whole unpleasant business of the cross, it doesn't seem to be an unfortunate accident, right? Jesus says, should I be distressed about this and ask God to stop it from happening? No. This is the very reason that I've come here. What does it mean to see Jesus? To see him as he is? What is at the core of the truth about Jesus? What is his identity? It's the cross. God's plan of love for the redemption of the world. To really see Jesus is to see very God suffer, die, and be raised for our sake. The cross, as cruel an instrument of torture as man has ever conceived, the cross is appropriated by God for the salvation of the world that God dearly loves. This is what Jesus looks like. This is what it is to see Jesus. We don't know, the story doesn't even tell us, if these Greeks ever find Jesus. We don't even know if they hear any of what he has to say here. But we do know that by being lifted up on the cross, Jesus dies for the Greeks' sins. He dies for your sins, and he dies for mine. And we hear from Jesus that for those Greeks and for us, To really be in touch with Jesus, to really see him, is to see God's will for humanity accomplished by way of the cross. It's maybe not what the Greeks were expecting, probably not what we would expect, but Jesus doesn't seem to be what anyone expected him to be. Unlike the grouchy celebrities of the world, though, when we meet Jesus, even though he's not what we were expecting, he does not let us down. He's so much better than we could have imagined. And even if we don't see him always for who he really is, here's the interesting thing. Jesus sees us for who we are, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And even knowing all there is to know about me and you, he loves us in spite of what he knows. Loves us so much that very God is lifted up on a cross and in a resurrection, destroying the power of death and freeing us from the stranglehold of sin. So, we who would seek Jesus, who wish to see him, will gather, certainly on Easter Sunday in a couple of weeks, to celebrate God's triumph over death. But also, next Sunday, and Maundy Thursday, and Good Friday, to hear about the handing over of Jesus by Judas. We'll hear about his passion, his suffering, and his death. Not because we relish the violence of it all, but to remind ourselves that God's love for us is so strong that Jesus takes all of this on, goes to the cross willingly for you. What tremendous love. That, brothers and sisters, may not be the Jesus that the Greeks were looking for. It may not be the Jesus we always think we want or need, but it's who Jesus is, the God who goes to the cross for us in love. And it's a Jesus that we would be blessed, we are blessed to encounter and to see. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us join together in the Apostles' Creed, found on page 105 and on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Renewed in the promise of baptism, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Gracious God, we pray for your church in the world. Guide us into a deeper knowledge of your love and grace. Increase in us the gifts of faith, hope, and service. We pray, Lord, for all who spread your gospel. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for our troubled world, for seeds planted in hope of an abundant harvest, for fertile soils and sufficient rains, for shepherds and ranchers, farm workers and harvesters, for flowers and berries, for orchards, vineyards, and citrus groves. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for the nations, for countries involved in long-term conflicts and violence, and for communities scarred by unrest and upheaval. Grant wisdom, Lord, to all who make decisions that affect others. Guide them to work for peace and for the well-being of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for those in need, for those who suffer in any way, for those who are lonely or isolated, for those seeking employment, for those who approach the hour of their death, for all who are ill. Especially we lift up Burnett, Jane, Marshall, Bobby, Jana, Barbara, Bill, and Betty, the family of Steve, Harold, Hunter, Marshall and Billy, Gracie, Billy, the family of Emily, Alice, David, Scott, Jeff, the family of Bob, Chuck, Ricky Ann, Boyd, the family of Mike, Elena and Kelly, David and Kelly, the family of Dorothy, Brianna, the family of Kay, Brad, David, Judy, and all those we name now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for this assembly, Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We lift up those preparing for baptism. We pray for visitors, newcomers, and those who return to us after extended absence. Deepen us in faith, fill us with hope, and draw us all into your loving presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Trusting in your covenant of mercy, O God, we lift our prayers to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
generation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in a new way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, in the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We'll say together our mission statement, which is on page 5. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Go in peace, serve the Lord.